From Washington, this is VOA News. There are reports that the president of Burkina Faso has stepped down. The Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem is partially reopened. I'm Dave DeForest reporting from Washington. Burkina Faso's army says President Blaise Compaoré has stepped down after 27 years in power. Burkina 24 News quotes an army spokesman as saying the president resigned today, a day after demonstrators set fire to the parliament building to protest a measure that would allow Mr. Compaoré to seek another term. The army spokesman did not reveal Mr. Compaoré's whereabouts and did not announce a successor. Myanmar's president and military chief met today with top political and minority leaders. That's the first summit of that kind in the country that is emerging from decades of military rule. The information minister said all participants at the summit held in the capital, Naypyidaw, agreed to continue progress on political reforms, nationwide ceasefire efforts, and the 2015 parliamentary elections. No breakthroughs were reported. Jerusalem's Al-Aqsa Mosque has been partially reopened. Israeli security forces let in Muslim women and older men for prayers after shuttering the area completely a day earlier. Israeli police deployed heavily around the Temple Mount site. Authorities restricted access to the disputed compound after violence broke out following the killing of a Palestinian by Israeli security forces. Japanese stocks rose today to their highest levels since before the global financial crisis. That coming after the government's surprise decision to expand economic stimulus measures. This is VOA News. Russia says gas supplies to Ukraine could resume as early as next week after Ukraine pays the first installment on its debt. Alexei Miller, the chief of Russia's state-controlled Gazprom company, said today the multi-billion-dollar agreement worked out by Russia, Ukraine, and the European Union will guarantee Russian gas supplies to Ukraine and other parts of Europe. The AFP News Service is reporting that Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko is suggesting that Prime Minister Arseniy Yatsenyuk remain in office. He made the proposal after meeting today with People's Front Party officials. German retail sales figures for September show their biggest drop in 7 years. AFP reports sales dropped 3.2%. The drop has led to concern that consumers may not be able to help Europe's largest economy grow. Reuters quotes German Finance Minister Wolfgang Schäuble as saying consumption and employment is strong in his country, but the geopolitical risks are undermining consumer confidence. The global charity Doctors Without Borders says mandatory quarantines for U.S. healthcare workers are having a chilling effect on its ability to fight Ebola in West Africa. The group says the quarantines for those returning from Africa are not based on established medical science. Chinese authorities today worked to clarify their response to the West African Ebola outbreak at a time when governments around the world are trying to determine the best way to prevent the virus from reaching their shores. William Ide has more.
Last week, China's foreign ministry said that travelers from West African countries who showed no signs of the virus would be allowed to travel without restriction. But other government agencies and Chinese media reports have described a different policy. According to Chinese health authorities and interviews VOA has conducted, anyone visiting from the three Ebola-hit West African countries must self-quarantine for 3 weeks. But how the quarantine is implemented is not clear, and health officials are refusing to provide more information. Bill Ide, Beijing.
Hong Kong student protest leaders are considering attending next month's conference of regional leaders in Beijing to make their case for democratic reforms in the semi-autonomous Chinese territory. Alex Chow, who is the Federation of Students leader, said during a rally late Thursday, organizers are discussing trying to attend the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Forum, which begins November 5th. It's being attended by world leaders. U.S. President Barack Obama and Chinese President Xi Jinping will be there. It's unclear whether the protest organizers will be permitted to visit the mainland. I'm Dave DeForest in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Coming up on The Voice of America, English teaching and learning English. We begin with our English teaching programs, New Dynamic English and Functioning in Business. At half past the hour Universal Time, you'll hear the Learning English programs As It Is, the Economics Report, and American Mosaic. Thank you for listening to VOA.
Hi, I'm Max.
Hello, my name is Kathy. Welcome to New Dynamic English.
New Dynamic English is a basic English language course and an introduction to American people and culture. Today's unit is, Do You Teach Every Day?
Hi, Kathy. How are you?
Fine, and you?
Fine.
This week, our guests are the Harris family. Today, we're going to talk with Sandra Harris. She's a music teacher, and today she's going to tell us a little about her teaching.
I'm looking forward to it.
Listen and repeat the days of the week.
Monday.
Monday.
Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Thursday.
Thursday.
Friday.
Friday.
Saturday.
Saturday.
Sunday.
Sunday.
Interview.
Now it's time for today's interview. Our guest today is Sandra Harris. Welcome back, Sandra.
It's nice to be here.
You're a music teacher.
That's right.
Do you teach every day?
No, not every day. I teach 3 days a week. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays.
So you don't teach on Tuesdays and Fridays?
That's right. And I don't teach on the weekends.
Could you tell us about your daily schedule?
Well, my schedule is different every day. I work mostly in the afternoon. On Mondays, I teach for 2 hours, from 2:30 to 4:30. On Wednesdays, I teach for 3 hours, from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock. And on Thursdays, I teach in the evening, from 7:30 to 10 o'clock.
I see. Our guest today is Sandra Harris. We'll talk more after our break. This is New Dynamic English.
Listen and repeat.
From 2:30 to 4:30. For 2 hours, from 2:30 to 4:30. She teaches for 2 hours, from 2:30 to 4:30. On Mondays, she teaches for 2 hours, from 2:30 to 4:30. From 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock. For 3 hours, from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock. She teaches for 3 hours, from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock. On Wednesdays, she teaches for 3 hours, from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock. From 7:30 to 10 o'clock. For 2.5 hours, from 7:30 to 10 o'clock. She teaches for 2.5 hours, from 7:30 to 10 o'clock. On Thursdays, she teaches for 2.5 hours, from 7:30 to 10 o'clock.
Interview.
Our guest today is Sandra Harris. She teaches piano 3 days a week. How many students do you have?
I have 14 students.
How often do they study?
Most of my students come to my house 1 day a week. My best student, Mary, comes 2 days a week, on Mondays and Thursdays.
How long are her lessons?
She studies for 45 minutes twice a week. My other students study for 30 minutes once a week.
Our guest today is Sandra Harris. We'll talk more after our break. This is New Dynamic English.
Listen and answer. Listen for the bell, then say your answer. How many hours does she teach?
On Mondays, she teaches from 2:30 to 4:30. How many hours does she teach? She teaches for 2 hours. On Wednesdays, she teaches from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock. How many hours does she teach? She teaches for 3 hours. On Thursdays, she teaches from 7:30 to 10 o'clock. How many hours does she teach? She teaches for 2.5 hours.
Email.
It's time to check our email. We have an email from Anne in Baltimore. Her question for Sandra is, what do you do on the other days when you're not teaching?
Well, I practice the piano for at least 2 hours every day. Right now, I'm preparing for a concert. I also go shopping, and on Tuesdays, I drive Colette to her violin lesson.
Okay, Sandra. Thanks a lot. I can see you're very busy.
Daily Dialogue. A Telephone Invitation, Part 3. Listen to the conversation.
Hello.
Hi, Sue.
Oh, hi, Holly.
What are you doing this weekend?
Not much.
Would you like to go to a movie?
A movie? Sure, I'd love to.
Great. How about Saturday night?
Yes, that's fine.
There's a good movie at the Plaza.
What time does it start?
I think it starts at 7 o'clock.
That's good for me.
Shall we meet at the theater?
Okay.
At 6:45?
How about 6:30?
6:30? Okay. See you then.
Thanks for the invitation.
Listen and repeat.
Shall we meet at the theater?
Okay.
At 6:45?
How about 6:30?
6:30? Okay. See you then.
Thanks for the invitation.
Question of the week.
This week we will ask questions about the schedules of most Americans. Question 1. When do most Americans eat dinner? Do they eat at 1 o'clock in the afternoon or at 6 o'clock in the evening? Do most Americans eat dinner at 1 o'clock in the afternoon or at 6 o'clock in the evening? Question 2. When do most Americans work? Do they work Monday through Friday or Monday through Saturday? Do most Americans work Monday through Friday or Monday through Saturday? Question 3. When do most Americans watch television? Do they watch television in the morning or in the evening? Do most Americans watch television in the morning or in the evening? We'll have the answers on our next show.
A question for you.
Now here's a question for you.
Listen for the bell, then say your answer.
Do you go to work every day? Okay.
Well, our time is up. So until next time, this is Kathy.
And this is Max.
Good luck in your English studies.
Goodbye.
For additional study materials, visit the DINED International website at dined.com. That's DYNED.com.
Well, folks, another good show. I hope.
Hey, everybody. You'll never guess what happened.
What?
What?
What is it?
What is it? Look. Look at this newspaper. Look at this story in the newspaper. Here.
It says the police arrested two industrial spies.
Keep going. Read the story.
Yesterday, the police arrested two industrial spies. They were arrested for stealing important papers from the scientist, Boris Bolinabal. Wait a minute! Boris Bolinabal! Is that your friend, Boris?
Yes, that's my friend, Boris. And look at the pictures. Look at the pictures in the paper. And now look at this picture of me and Boris.
It is Boris.
Yes, I called Boris to tell him, but he wasn't there. After the show today...
The show? Oh, my gosh. Functioning in business. It's time for the show.
After the show, I'm going to Boris's office to see if he's okay. Secret agents, can you believe that?
Now, English teaching continues on VOA.
Quiet, please. Ready for functioning in business. Cue music.
Hello, I'm Elizabeth Moore. Welcome to Functioning in Business.
Functioning in Business is an intermediate-level business English course with a focus on American business practices and culture. Today's unit is Confirming Plans, Part 3. This program focuses on refusing. Interview.
On today's program, I'll be talking with Shirley Graham. Ms. Graham is attending a conference in Seattle. She'll be talking to us by phone. Welcome, Ms. Graham.
Hello. Thank you for having me on your show.
Can you give us a little background on the project you were working on last year?
Certainly. As you know, Advanced Technologies makes computer parts. To be more specific, we make electronic components for computers. We also manufacture office computers.
Where are your factories located?
Our main factory is in Los Angeles, but we have smaller plants in Northern California, and we have two factories overseas.
Last year, you were in charge of a project to construct another factory in Northern California.
That's right. I wanted to find ways to cut costs and improve productivity. One way to do that was to use robots. So we needed as much information as possible about companies that made industrial robots. That's why I sent Mike Epstein to the trade show in Beijing last spring.
Variations. Listen to these variations.
Advanced Technologies makes computer parts.
Advanced Technologies manufactures computer components.
You were in charge of a project.
You were responsible for a project.
I wanted to find ways to cut costs.
I wanted to find ways to reduce expenses.
We needed as much information as possible.
We needed to find out as much as we could.
That's why I sent Mike Epstein to the trade show.
That's why I asked Mike Epstein to attend the trade show. Interview.
So you sent Mr. Epstein to Beijing to learn more about industrial robots.
That's right.
And that's where Mr. Epstein met Mr. Blake.
Yes. Mr. Blake works for International Robotics, a Chinese company that makes industrial robots. Mr. Epstein was very impressed by their technology. And so we agreed to meet with Mr. Blake when he came to the U.S.
Had you ever done business with a Chinese company?
No, we hadn't. So that was one of my main concerns.
Could you be more specific?
Certainly. Mike Epstein told me that the robots were of the highest quality. I'm not an engineer, so on technical matters, I trust Mike's judgment. My concern was with after-sales service. Once the plant was in operation, I had to be sure that things would run smoothly. That means a good maintenance and repair program. I was concerned that a foreign company like International Robotics could not provide adequate maintenance. Mike didn't seem very worried about this, but I was very concerned.
Thank you for taking the time to talk with us.
It's been my pleasure.
Let's take a short break.
Variations. Listen to these variations.
Mr. Epstein was very impressed by their technology.
Mr. Epstein thought that their technology was very good.
We agreed to meet with Mr. Blake.
We told Mr. Blake that we would meet with him.
Had you ever done business with a Chinese company?
Had you ever worked with a Chinese company before?
Could you be more specific?
Could you please give me more details about that?
My concern was with after-sales service.
I was concerned about after-sales service. Culture tips.
Hello, everyone, and welcome again to Culture Tips. We're here with our business language expert, Gary Engleton.
It's nice to be back.
We have an email question about American workspaces and offices.
Oh, good. What's the question?
The question is, do most American executives have private offices?
Good question. In most companies, executives and managers, high-level employees, have private offices. By a private office, I mean a room with a door that closes.
And they don't share the office with a coworker.
That's right. In general, the more important the person, the larger the office. Americans are concerned about personal space, and a large, comfortable office is a sign of status.
What about other workers, workers who don't have private offices?
Well, most American workers like to have their own workspace, so company work areas are often divided into cubicles. Each worker has his or her own cubicle.
What exactly is a cubicle?
Cubicles are small, square work areas. They have low walls that can be moved easily. And cubicles usually don't have doors.
So there's not much privacy?
No, there's not.
Where can people meet if they want to talk? Cubicles are too small for meetings, aren't they?
Most companies have common areas or meeting rooms for groups to get together. And in American companies, informal meetings are held everywhere, in cubicles and offices, in the coffee area or cafeteria, wherever people meet.
Thanks again for your interesting comments, Gary.
My pleasure.
True or false? Listen. Is this statement true or false?
The employees in many American companies work in large open spaces. False. Most Americans work in private offices or cubicles. People in cubicles don't have a lot of privacy. True. Cubicles usually have low walls and no doors. People don't have a lot of privacy. Important American executives usually work in big cubicles. False. Important executives usually have large private offices.
Business dialogue. Changing an Appointment.
Let's listen to today's business dialogue. We'll hear Sandra Powers calling Bob Myers to change an appointment.
Hello, this is Bob Myers speaking.
Hello, this is Sandra Powers from Delta Electronics. I'm sorry, but Mr. Malone is busy on Wednesday. If it's convenient for you, could we change our appointment to 1 o'clock on Friday?
I understand that you're very busy, but Friday is too late. We have some very serious problems. I think we should meet as soon as possible.
I see. Could I call you back later today? I want to check our schedule for Thursday.
Good. I'll be expecting your call later today.
Focus on functions. Refusing.
Now let's focus on refusing.
Listen to these variations.
I'm sorry, but Mr. Malone is busy on Wednesday.
I'm afraid that Mr. Malone is not free on Wednesday.
I understand that you're very busy, but Friday is too late.
I realize that you're very busy, but Friday is too late. Gary's Tips.
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Engleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today I'll be talking about how to make polite refusals. To refuse means to say no. Let's listen to the business dialogue and see how Ms. Powers and Mr. Myers say no in a polite but clear manner.
Hello, this is Bob Myers speaking.
Hello, this is Sandra Powers from Delta Electronics. I'm sorry, but Mr. Malone is busy on Wednesday. If it's convenient for you, could we change our appointment to 1 o'clock on Friday?
Ms. Powers begins her refusal with an apology. I'm sorry, but... And then says that Mr. Malone is not free to meet with Mr. Myers on Wednesday. Let's listen again.
I'm sorry, but Mr. Malone is busy on Wednesday.
Then she suggests another time for the meeting. She begins her suggestion with the very polite expression, if it's convenient for you.
If it's convenient for you, could we change our appointment to 1 o'clock on Friday?
Ms. Powers would like to meet on Friday, but Mr. Myers thinks that is too late. He begins his refusal by showing he understands Ms. Powers' situation.
I understand that you're very busy, but Friday is too late.
And then he gives his reason for refusal.
We have some very serious problems. I think we should meet as soon as possible.
Ms. Powers and Mr. Myers both show concern for the other person's situation. Now let's listen to another version of this conversation. In this conversation, both people are too direct.
Hello, this is Bob Myers speaking.
Hello, this is Sandra Powers from Delta Electronics. Mr. Malone is busy on Wednesday. We need to change our appointment to 1 o'clock on Friday.
Friday is too late. We have some very serious problems. We should meet as soon as possible.
In this conversation, Ms. Powers and Mr. Myers do not show concern for the other person's feelings. Their direct statements sound rude and demanding. So, if you have to say no to someone, be sure to show that you understand their situation. Thanks for joining us today for Gary's Tips. We'll see you again next time.
Thanks, Gary. Well, our time is up. Tune in again next time for Functioning in Business. See you then.
For additional study materials, visit the DINED International website at dined.com. That's DYNED.com.
Coming up next on The Voice of America, the Learning English Programs As It Is, the Economics Report, and American Mosaic. Thank you for listening to VOA.